Good afternoon, folks. My name's Craig, and this is the Over the Fence show here on Raglan Community Radio 98.1 FM and Free FM 89.0. Hope you're having a lovely day out there. Nice sunny day here in Whangaroa, at least, anyway. A bit of wind around, but nice, pleasant summer's day out there. And on the show today, we're going to be concentrating on, firstly, we'll go through some primary sector headlines, have a look at the weather, do some gardening to do, some public service announcements, and then after that, we're going to be looking at methane emissions taxes on farm in New Zealand. So we'll have a look at all these things as time goes by in the show. But I'll come back with some headlines after this one, and I'm going to start the show with, what did I decide? I was going to start the show with this one here, called Half Moon by Janis Joplin. Janis Joplin, of course, with Half Moon, and primary sector headlines time now on the Over the Fence show here, and the quality of New Zealand's most valuable vegetable export crop may be affected by the recent deluge. The rain, the heavy downpour washed tons of onions off the Pukekohe fields where they were drying and left others lying on soggy ground. and an export's worth $150 million a year, and exports to New Zealand's main market, Europe, were set to ramp up this week. Onion's New Zealand chief executive James Cooper has said initial fears that volumes would be down had eased and quality would be more of a factor. Yeah, it's, we're a low-volume producer in New Zealand, but we target higher export values. So if the onions have been sitting in a field longer than we want, or if they are stained because of the soil, it's a big concern for us. So, yes, yeah, there was a lot of rain up those ways, all right. I was in Onifiru just over the on the south side of the Waikato River from Pukekohe, and, yes, much rain was up there during last weekend. And the Ashburton Mayor says, it isn't a major concern. Officials are unsure how Mycoplasma bovis began circulating Wakanui farms in mid-Canterbury last year because they continue to close in on eradication. An independent expert review into the M. bovis infection in Wakanui has failed to produce a definitive explanation for transmission of the disease. But Program Director Simon Andrew said it showed appropriate steps were being taken to remove infections in the area. Yeah, last thing there was like there's five farms at the last count, up from three, but all in kind of the same kind of area. The review was commissioned by the program's partners, MPI, Dairy NZ, MPI being Ministry of Primary Industries, of course, Dairy NZ and Beef and Lamb New Zealand. Mid-2022, after it became apparent that infections were circulating in a small geographical area despite the use of disease control measures, which has proven successful in other areas around New Zealand. So, yeah, I mean, it's around, and I think New Zealand's fairly still well-placed to do a world first and maybe eradicate it. Time will tell, of course. And again, the recent wet weather in the North Island has left shearing gangs weeks behind, and some sheep are unable to get to the sheds for shearing due to damage on farm. Shearing Contractors Association President Mike Barrowcliffe said wet weather right through December and January had crews falling behind, but last week's deluge has made things worse. Everyone's just getting further behind as the backlog grows, and there's more lambs coming on board. So, yeah, it's getting frustrating, he says. The rain's been good for farmers because they've got plenty of grass, but they have other issues like fire strike to deal with now, he says. Barrowcliffe said shearers that had come from overseas were getting frustrated because they were sitting on their hands. They come out of work, they're away from their families and friends to earn good money, but at the moment gangs just can't work because it's too wet. And, yeah, not much anyone can really do about that. But anyways. And the owners of a Waikato egg farm remain puzzled by a blaze that ripped through two of its sheds on Tuesday, killing 50,000 hens. The fire at Zia Gold Farm in Otani, east of Huntly, started at about 7:20 a.m. Took 10 fire and emergency trucks to quell the flames, which destroyed two of the farm's 12 sheds. Zia Gold Nutrition Chief Executive John McKay called it a pretty tough day. First thing you're concerned about is your people, and thankfully the 12 people we had on site at the time and the fire safety exited the building and were unharmed. We had an avian vet on site as soon as we were able to get people back on the farm yesterday. It's gone through with our people on the farm and they looked at the birds. They seem to be doing pretty well yesterday, he says. The facility is just a couple of years old and was built to modern specifications, including cage-free housing for the hens and fire retardant panels, which McKay said helped contain the fire's spread. So, yeah, a bit of a puzzle, that one. That's a lot of chooks, isn't it? But anyways. And kiwifruit growers say confidence is Zespri dented over lack of pay. Yes, indeed. Kiwifruit Growers Organisation has written an open letter to Zespri asking for an explanation over the lack of February progress payments for producers of green kiwifruit. In an update to growers on 20th of January, Zespri said growers would not get progress payments as fruit quality issues had resulted in additional costs. In the letter, New Zealand Kiwifruit Growers Executive Committee asked Zespri how it could get the Orchard Gate return forecast so wrong. The 20th of January announcement was an extreme deviation from the November OGR forecast. Furthermore, the NZKGI Executive Committee questioned how much of the variation should have been known at the Zespri board meeting in December. And confidence in Zespri's ability to forecast has been dented, the letter reads. So, yes, trouble at mill and at the kiwifruit sector. But I'm sure they'll straighten it out. And that'll do for headlines for now, so I'm going to play for you now JJ Cale, Wish I Had Met Donna. I'll come back some weather after that one.
Wish I had me a dollar, buy me a drink of wine. I don't want no trouble, screen. Fool, I'll be tomorrow, drowning at my sorrow. Wish I had me a dollar. For every time I see it, another cheating woman has come down on my head. I need relief, all this pain and this grief. Fool, I'll be tomorrow, drowning in my sorrow. Wish I had me a dollar. Shot to go. It's been against my wishes, loving way too slow. I need relief from this pain and this grief. Who love me tomorrow, drowning in my sorrow. I had me a dollar. Wish I had me a dollar. Wish I had me a dollar. Wish I had me a dollar.
As Lou Reed there with, that's JJ Cale there with Wish I Had Me a Dollar. And it's time for some weather here on the Over the Fence show on Regular Community Radio and Free FM today. And a southwesterly airflow lies over the country today, showers in the west and south. And some rain for Canterbury later today, which is northerly, sort of moving westerly, I feel. And the headlines, well, showers or maybe some rain for Canterbury. The evening southerly winds push north through Canterbury, bring thickening cloud and showers, perhaps some rain, then easing overnight. Not a large amount of rain, but anything helps considering it's quite dry down there at the moment. And the temperatures for the East and South Island won't be cold, but they won't be hot either. And they're in the mid to late teens, so that's what's happening down south there. And the rainfall for the next 7 days, participation percentage of normal map. Below shows plenty of rains on the way for the North Island, especially for the North and East. Meanwhile, the South Island is looking drier than normal. So, yes, there is more rain kind of on the way, which is kind of good in a way, as long as it's not kind of super heavy again. It might exacerbate some slips and things that are already, some land that's already on the move, things like that. And thanks to the low mentioned around mid-February, expect some very strong winds for the North Island also coming up later this month. Winds mostly coming in from the east or southeast, and more to the southwest as the low moves away to the east, or maybe the southeast. So these are things happening. And what can we expect here in the Waikato? Well, in the Waikato, cloud breaks and sunny spells in the afternoon. Bay of Plenty is mostly sunny, with the odd shower out west, clearing in the evening, and southwesterly winds. And it doesn't kind of look like a shower. It may have a little shower, but it won't be much, I wouldn't imagine, out here in Whangarei anyway today. The temperature is expected to reach 22 degrees today, 21 degrees tomorrow, and then somewhere between 20 and 24 degrees for like the rest of the week. And the nighttime temperature tonight will be 17 degrees. with the rest of the week being between 14 and kind of 17 degrees, slightly more pleasant than the 20 degrees I think it was last week, or maybe the week before. Sunny and cloudy the next 3 days, and then mostly cloudy Saturday. Sunny with showers from Sunday, and then like Monday, Tuesday, a bit of rain, and then, yeah, a few little showers into next week. And the winds are west-south-westerly today, south-westerly tomorrow, east-south-easterly on Friday, east-north-easterly Saturday, easterly Sunday, east-south-easterlies again Monday, easterlies Tuesday, and then moving westerly into next week. And the chance of rain, yeah, a bit of trace rain here and there, and then the biggest dump of rain looks to be on Monday. There might be around about 45 mils or so on Monday, but the rest of it's, yeah, kind of trace rain. And that's what they're staying at this stage anyways. And the humidity today is 74%. The sun rose this morning at 6:42 and will set this evening at 8:29. The length of visible light is 14 hours and 43 minutes, and the actual day length is 13 hours and 46 minutes. And tomorrow, stretching out a bit now, isn't it, folks, will be 2 minutes and 10 seconds shorter than today. And the beautiful moon... yeah, it's been a mighty, mighty good-looking full moon I've seen between the clouds the last couple of nights, and that will rise at 9:56 this evening and set at 8:30 in the morning. And it's waning gibbous at the moment. 94% of the moon is illuminated. So there's some weather for you. Now I'm going to play for you. We'll come back to some public... Oh, no, some gardening to-dos after this one. But here's... this one goes out to Ted Muir. And... to Jan and Sarah and Phil and the rest of the whānau. It's called Lou Reed, What's Good. That was one for you, Ted.
Life's like Minnesota, and life's like space without room. And life's like bacon and ice cream. That's what life's like without you. Life's like forever becoming, but life's forever dealing and hurt. Now life's like death without living. That's what life's like without you. Life's like Sanskrit read to a pony. I see you in my mind's eye, strangling on your tongue. What good is knowing such devotion? I've been around, I know what makes things wrong. What good is seeing our chocolate? What good's a computerized nose? And what good is cancer in April? Why no good? No good at all. Killing. What good is rain that falls up? What good's a disease that won't hurt you? Why no good? I guess no good at all. What good are these thoughts that I'm thinking? It must be better, huh, not to be thinking at all. A styrofoam lover with emotions of concrete. No, not much. Not much at all. What good is life without living? What good's this lying that barks? You love the life of this throwaway nightly. It's not fair, not fair at all. What's good? Oh, baby, what's good? What's good? What's good? Not much at all. Hey baby, what's good? What's good? What's good? What's good? What's good? What's good? Not much at all. What's good? What's good? What's good? Life's good. good?
Life's good.
What's good?
Life's good,
but not fair at all.
Yes, indeed. That's Lou Reed there with What's Good. I like that line too. It's, life's good, but not fair at all. And so it seems that one's you, Ted. And now we're going to do some gardening to-dos here on the Over the Fence show. And if you're gardening by the moon, what you can do till around about Tuesday is cut back kumara and grapevines to encourage plants' energy into the fruit. And use pruning as biomass for your hot compost bins. And from Tuesday, you can continue to water and cover beds with shade cloth if needed, and so plants don't suffer from heat stress. And yes, it is certainly hot, for sure. What else can you plant here in the Waikato? Well, these things. Alisum, basil, beetroot, blueberries, Brussels sprouts, carrots, chrysanthemum, cosmos, daffodil, daisy, delphinium, dianthus, forget-me-not, fuchsia, gubera, hyacinth, impatiens, lavender, leeks, lettuce, marigold, mesclun, onions, pansy viola, parsley, petunia, radish, rhubarb, rocket, silver beet, spinach, spring onion, and a tulip. So all these things and more. You can get busy with them in the garden, and weeds, of course, at this time of the year, to pluck them out and keep harvesting all the beans and tomatoes and all the goodness coming through at the moment. All right, so that'll be for the gardening to-dos. Now here's This Is The Day.
Thank you.
That's the there with This Is The Day here on the Over The Fence show. And now it's on some public service announcements. And Surfing For Farmers is back in action. Yes, it has been. I forgot to mention it last week. I wasn't here last week, but the week before. And so that's all going again. And all going well, I'll get Matty Kirk on to have a good yak about it next week. But yes, that'll be from 5 o'clock this evening. So yeah, just cruise along to the surf club. And the good people there will sort you out with wetsuits and surfboards and give you lessons and things like that. And then everyone, you can trottle up to the surf club following that and have a sausage and a drink if that's your thing. And yeah, good day. And so beautiful weather today. And I hear the surf's pretty big too. So should be an interesting day for Surfing For Farmers tonight at 5 o'clock. But like I say, I'll try and get Matty Kirk on maybe next week. Have a bit of a yak about that one again. And also the main road, State Highway 23, coming in there. Looking, the latest on that one is it's closed at the moment still, and the official bypass things up Ohaotira Road through Wanarol, through Narawa here, and then down to Whatawhata from there. But they're currently working on a two-lane diversion around the slip area. I hear they've been cutting down pine trees and things like that to the farm owner's land there to open the road again temporarily in some kind of fashion. So, yeah, I have no idea how long it's going to take, but, yep, that's it's in the motion at least anyways. And this Saturday, don't forget, is the Raglan Volunteer Fire Brigade station open day from 10 till 2. 10 till 2 this Saturday, and that's going to be a bit of a fun day. They're going to do a kitchen fire demonstration, and then they're going to have like a goggle, things the kids can wear to escape a house that's on fire, and lots of other fun things for people to check out. So get along to that one. And there's also heaps of gigs and that happening, like always, in Raglan. And you can check all these things out on the What's On Guide on Raglan Community Radio. So I think I'll leave it there for the public service announcements. And I'm going to play for this one, Tracy Bonham, Mother Mother. Oh, and also, yeah, I forgot to say, there's a community board meeting happening in around about half an hour. Half past one. It's not in the sup room anymore, but it's in the main town hall. So yep, some people are just drifting in there setting up things now, and so that'll be all go at 1:30. So if you want to come down and contribute, have your say about something, or just come in for a listen or whatever, yeah, get down here by about 1:30 and sit in on that one and see the local happenings. I think they're talking about civil defence, and they'll be talking about the slip and things, no doubt, and a few other things like that on the agenda. So yeah, that's 1:30, pretty soon, right here in the town hall on Bow Street in Raglan. So, yeah. Here's Tracy Bonham, Mother Mother.
The heart I'm starving, I'm bleeding to death. Corner, I could make it. reason. I'm starving, I'm bleeding to death. I miss you. I love you.
Tracy Bottom there with Mother Mother. And we'll come back soon with some things about the methane emissions from cows in New Zealand after this one by Faith No More, called Evidence. Faith No More there with Evidence. Beautiful song, isn't it? And please like that one, Paul. And so we're going to start by we're having a look at methane from livestock in Aotearoa. And so we'll start, I think, by playing a media clip from media talk by Global News about the proposed tax on New Zealand farmers for methane. So check this out.
While belching is widely considered to be rude, livestock don't don't seem to care. All day, every day, they burp. But it's not the act of burping that's the problem. It is the methane that they release into our atmosphere. The average cow emits a whopping 220 pounds of methane gas a day. Well, New Zealand is doing something about it by taxing burping livestock. Mike Drolet explains.
With a population of just 5 million, New Zealand's carbon footprint is relatively small. Its hoof print, however, is through the roof. And now, in a world first, New Zealand farmers will have to pay a tax for every one of the methane-emitting 10 million cattle and 26 million sheep that roam the scenic countryside. The farmers will be able to mitigate their tax burden if they lower emissions by modernizing their operations. Where the program could fail is if farmers pick up and move their operations to another country.
When you shut down farms and they go someplace else, then that doesn't mean that the demand for these products that these farms used to produce all of a sudden ceases to exist. The demand is still there and will be satisfied by somebody else elsewhere in the world. And that means that emissions will simply shift from one place to another.
Cows and sheep are ruminant animals, meaning they have four-chambered stomachs that act like fermentation vats that create methane, 95% of which comes right out of their mouths. As far as greenhouse gases go, methane traps up to 36 times more heat in the atmosphere than carbon dioxide does. And that's bad. But while the carbon dioxide we emit today will stick in the atmosphere for centuries, methane dissipates in far less time.
The good news is that methane is short-lived. It only lives about a decade in the atmosphere, and then it's killed, it's destroyed.
New Zealand is hoping for the kind of success seen in California, which has reduced the methane produced by its dairy farms by 30%. However, California did it through incentives, not taxes. Whether or not it works, the impact of burping livestock on global warming still pales in comparison to the real culprit. The exhaust belching out of our dirty tailpipes. Mike Drolet, Global News, Toronto.
So there we are. There's a Global News sort of take on the situation, and a couple of interesting points in there. If New Zealand taxes methane and the animal numbers, dwindle considerably in New Zealand, just means that the products are going to be bought from countries overseas which don't have these kind of regulations around. So, yeah, it's another thing to kind of think about. And you may have heard your man mention there about, how they did this kind of thing in California and they dropped it by 30%. But the difference between New Zealand and a lot of other countries, of course, is that pretty much all of our livestock operations are outside, where a lot of the ones in like California, for example, are indoor sort of setups. So I guess it depends a lot on how you look at it and how you got to tread pretty carefully along these things, because New Zealand farmers are among the best in the world, and it is an outdoor kind of operation, which is probably as close as nature as you're probably going to get, right? As far as farming system goes, a lot of the housed animals, which actually very rarely if ever get outside, the environment and atmosphere is a lot easier to control, but it's not maybe not what you want to be eating, probably. If you had a choice, right? So I'll come back with another little clip after this one by the Toadies called I Came From the Water.
Water. I come from the water. I come from the water. I come from the water. That weren't no easy thing. It's more than nature. It's like my destiny. I stood up on these legs and held my head up. from the water. I come from the water, yeah. Life in the desert, just to be together.
Toadies there with I Come From The Water. And now it's time for, have a listen to this, which features an interview by Farm New Zealand Chairman Robin Grieve. And it's from an Australian network news producer. So this is what the Australians' take on the New Zealand methane tax is. Well, their view anyways.
Now, farmers across the ditch are set to be taxed into oblivion, some of them fear, under Jacinda Ardern's plan to cut methane emissions. They're going to tax, is trying to put a price on burping and farting livestock. And it's supposed to drive measures to reduce these emissions. Can you believe it? Here's the New Zealand Prime Minister last year.
We are working very hard to actually reduce those emissions in real terms. We are the only country in the world that I know of that has made a commitment to how we will price emissions that are produced through our food production, and you're just not seeing that in other countries.
We shall see. Some estimates say 20% of sheep and beef farmers and maybe 5% of dairy farmers could be forced out of business under this tax by 2030. A little earlier, I spoke with Robin Grieve. He's the chairman of Farm New Zealand. And I started by asking him why on earth a government would tax agriculture when it's the country's main export earner.
Good evening. Yes, this is absolutely mind-boggling. It's been on the agenda for a long time, the idea that that we need to tax emissions or all sorts of things, the CO2 and now the methane. So it's been bubbling along since early 2000s, I suppose, 2008 when the emissions trading scheme came in, and there's always been this idea that we need to get agricultural emissions in. But there's absolutely no rhyme or reason to it. It's not even a clever thing to do. There's nothing the farmer can do to avoid the tax other than go broke or shut down production. So, you know, there's nothing really good in it for the country for us to achieve this.
Well, this is the problem, right? There's an additional tax coming. So, as you say, either farmers are just hit with an additional tax, or there's a lot of speculation that there'll be new ways and new techniques, even new feedstocks invented so that cows and sheep will fart and burp less. Do you think there's much future in reducing the emissions from the animals?
Well, they're looking for these things. I mean, it's not going to be very easy for the New Zealand pastoral farming to adopt any technology because most of them are going to be involved feed additives. So that sort of suits feedlot farming. So New Zealand, which is probably one of the most efficient producers of grass-fed milk and meat, could find itself in trouble if it goes down that track or if the world goes down that track. But at the moment, the issue we have in New Zealand is that there's no need to reduce these emissions as far as the environment's concerned. I mean, we've been studying this for years. There's no controversy now. The methane is cycling. It's atmospherically neutral, so it's not causing any additional warming. So if they want to address the problem of global warming, by doing it through methane and livestock emissions is just the wrong way to go.
Well, this is the point with all these things, right? I mean, methane, two-thirds of all methane that's produced is produced naturally. New Zealand, while it's your agricultural sector is a huge part of your economy, obviously it's a tiny part of global agriculture, so whatever you reduce in methane emissions in New Zealand is going to be meaningless. But it could do real damage to your dairy farmers in particular, couldn't it?
Well, the dairy industry will cope with it better. That's why they're predicting about a 5% decline in the industry, which is, I mean, it's our biggest industry, $18 billion worth in exports. So, you know, 5%, that's a lot of things that we won't be able to, or New Zealanders won't be able to, it'll lower our standard of living. Big impact on sheep and beef farms, more like 20%, and that's sort of a $10 billion industry. So you're talking big drops. And the other thing is that by us dropping our agricultural production to reduce our methane emissions, it's just selfish because two things there. One's going to happen is that the production is going to get picked up by another country. I mean, good on you, Australia, if you pick it up and you get the money that we don't get. Other parts of the world, they'll produce more feed to take up the slack that we create, and they'll produce higher emissions. So it's actually probably going to cause more global warming than anything. And the other thing, it's in contravention of the Paris Agreement. And you understand the Paris Agreement, they're very conscious of the effect of the biofuel policies from previous climate policies, which caused huge devastation, you know, wiping out food production for fuel.
Robin, tell us then about the anger among farmers and the political situation. Is this a fait accompli now, or do you think that there will be changes from the government?
Well, there will be changes because the government acknowledged it's not a very good scheme. It's an expedient scheme that they put in place. But whether the changes are sufficient to appease the farmers, I strongly doubt. In fact, I'm pretty sure they're not. The anger the farmers have is they're angry with their own industry, the dairy NZs and the beef and lambs, who have let them down by trying to work with the government and then ultimately being shafted by the government, who threw out the compromise scheme for this scheme that they put up. And as far as anger with the government, well, I don't know how much more angry you can get. The government's been anti-farmer from the beginning. Inexplicably, they seem to want to devastate the industry or something like that. And farmers have been, I think they're at the war and they're about as angry as you can get.
Robin, good luck with your battle and thanks for joining us.
Thank you very much.
All right, folks, that was mostly there Robin Grieve, who is the chair of FarmNZ, which is shorthand for Farmers Against something methane, I think. I can't remember what the R stands for, but yeah. So he raises a couple of interesting points there, I feel like. And that was recorded a couple of months ago, and of course that legislation is still ongoing. So we may well come back with something else about that before the end of the show. As for now, anyways, is 2 plus 2 equals 5 by Radiohead.
Such a dreamer to put the world to rights. I stay home forever, attuned to always makes a fight. There's no
Radiohead there, 2 and 2 equals 5. And just further on the methane thing, the New Zealand Agricultural Research, there's one arm that is looking particularly into methane, the research program, targets reduction in the emissions from two main sources in New Zealand agriculture: enteric methane produced by the digestive systems of ruminant animals and methane emitted from manure management. The program is built on nearly a decade of jointly funded work by NZ Ag RC and the PGRC. Excuse me. And they've come up with a few things like breeding tactics where they've identified low methane emitting sheep and cattle and things like that. And feeds also, alternative forages they've been looking into. And I do remember hearing something about, I think it was in Europe somewhere, that they came across a macroalgae from the ocean which reduced emissions of methane from ruminant animals by, I think it was like 20% or something like that, if it was maybe 5 or 10% of the diet or something like that. So there's a lot of work going on in the area. And inhibitors as well. Methane inhibitor is a chemical compound fed to an animal to reduce production of methane in the rumen. So there's also a lot of work going into that one. And they've also developed a methane, thanks mate, vaccine, which would trigger an animal's immune system to generate antibodies in saliva that suppresses the growth of methane-producing microbes. I don't know, that's probably, yeah, I don't know, it might happen, I mean, but yeah, I wouldn't imagine farmers want the extra job of jabbing all their animals with that, to be honest, especially if it's not kind of proven yet so well. And manure management is a minor source of methane emissions in New Zealand, but technologies used in other countries might benefit farms here, like reducing manure from stored waste. And, yeah, it's a little wishy-washy, all that kind of stuff, and a lot of it most New Zealand farms are doing anyway. So, yeah, there's things happening in that area, and which is good to see. And so, yes, time will tell about how it all kind of goes. So, yeah, that's a bit of a methane special for your listening pleasure this afternoon. And I'm going to finish the show now, I think, with... yeah, thanks for listening. I hope you enjoy the show, and I'll probably be back next week. All going well, I'll be back with Matty Kirk talking about surfing for farmers next week. So, yeah, I hope you enjoyed the show, folks. Have a lovely week. Enjoy the sunshine while it's here. And, yeah, ka kite there, folks. Enjoy yourselves. I'm going to go out with one here by the Gordons called Future Shock. Enjoy.